Hello and welcome to Socialism, the Marxist podcast from the Socialist Party. Our podcast aims to understand, explain and prepare us all for the fight for socialism. It's produced by members and party activists. Don't miss an episode, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome. I'm Oscar Parry, a member of the Socialist Party. The local elections in May 2024 and the prospect of a general election on the horizon raises the question to millions of voters: who can I vote for? The Socialist Party will be standing in both elections as part of the Trade Union and Socialist Coalition, contesting 250 seats at the local elections as part of a campaign to organise the largest workers' electoral challenge possible in the upcoming general election. This episode of the podcast, The Fight for Workers' Politics Now, is a recording of Hannah Sell, the General Secretary of the Socialist Party, speaking at a Socialist Party public meeting in South London, where she will delve into the topic of a workers' electoral challenge to the establishment parties. Enjoy.
The title of tonight's meeting is about how we can build the strongest possible challenge at the ballot box in the general election. But I don't suppose there's anyone in this room who thinks that the only way that we're going to challenge Sunak and Starmer is at the ballot box. I can see a few of you who I know have been involved in strike action against this Tory government and their public sector pay restraint over the course of the last couple of years. All of us have been involved in building the biggest movement on the streets of Britain in solidarity with the Palestinians in the history of this country. So it's not that we think that the only way we're going to change things is the ballot box. That global movement against the apocalyptic horror that is taking place in Gaza has not been able as yet to stop the war. But nonetheless, it is powerful. It has put pressure on capitalist politicians. Here in Britain, we can claim the scalp of Suella Braverman because her being sacked was as a direct consequence of the size of that biggest anti-war demonstration on the 11th of November. And the movement is putting pressure on the imperialist governments that are backing the Israeli state. How do we strengthen it? The Socialist Party is working to build the strength of the demonstrations, to get the biggest turnouts that we can. But we also raise, for example, the vital role that the workers' movement, that the trade unions have got to play, and in particular fight in the trade unions that organise workers who are involved in industries that are sending weapons, logistics, other things to the Israeli state, for them to meet and discuss how they could carry out workers' sanctions against what is taking place in Gaza. So it's not just about elections. But nonetheless, elections are an important weapon in this anti-war struggle and in all class struggles. Look at what's taken place in the US. The way that in the Democrat primaries, voters have been voting non-committed, so not for Biden, not for any candidate, as a conscious way of protesting against Biden's support for Israel. More than 19% of them, in the case of Minnesota, voted uncommitted or non-committed in that primary. And that has done more than any single demonstration in the US to ramp up the pressure on Biden in the run-up to the presidential election. And then, as has already been mentioned, here in Britain, we've had the Rochdale by-election. When a left candidate in a by-election is greeted after the result by the Tory Prime Minister calling an emergency press conference on the steps of Downing Street to say that it is beyond alarming, you know they have done something right, that they have managed to frighten a little bit the capitalist establishment. Now, it's true, there were very specific circumstances in Rochdale in that Labour withdrew support for their candidate in that by-election. But nonetheless, George Galloway and the Workers' Party got almost 40% of the vote, and the second place candidate, who was an independent campaigning to reopen the maternity services, got 21% of the vote. Meanwhile, the three major establishment capitalist parties, Tories, Lib Dem and Labour together, got just over 26% of the vote. So that is an indication of the enormous disillusionment that exists with all the capitalist politicians amongst working class people and the possibility of harnessing that at the ballot box. And just to be clear, we have differences with George Galloway and the Workers' Party on a wide variety of issues. I'm not going to start listing them all in this introduction. But when you see their election material, there was particularly one letter that came out in the national press afterwards, which was socially conservative, divisive, whipping up prejudice against trans people potentially, which we would have no support for whatsoever. And also, while it is absolutely legitimate, more than legitimate, it's correct to harness the huge anger of working class Muslims in particular about what is taking place in Gaza, and to stand in elections and to offer an opportunity for them and others to vote against the horror of what's taking place in Gaza, you've got to be very careful not to just be mobilising Muslims as a bloc, but using that as a step for increasing the unity of the working class and mobilising all working class people against the capitalist politicians. And there's dangers there in the approach that is taken by George Galloway and the Workers' Party. And it's very important we debate those issues and have sharp criticism when necessary, as we have done historically with George Galloway and will continue to do so. But that absolutely did not prevent us calling for a vote for George Galloway in that by-election, because it was so clear that him getting a good vote or winning a decisive victory, as he actually did, would give confidence to every anti-war activist, to every socialist around the country, that it is possible to fight back at the ballot box, and therefore could be a step towards a real socialist challenge at the general election. And that is a really vital issue for the working class here in Britain, and actually in most countries around the globe. This is a speech about Britain. I'm not going to start going on about the whole of the world. But generally speaking, we're in a period of history when there is huge anger against capitalism, against the elites, when socialist ideas are increasingly popular, when in a whole number of countries, the working class is beginning to feel its collective strength again, having not done so for decades. That's clearly true here in Britain, where we've had the biggest strike waves for over 30 years, since the collapse of Stalinism. But also in the US, they've had the biggest strike wave in 40 years at the end of last year. But while all of that is true and very positive, in almost without exception, working class people have no party in sense of a mass party that they can vote for, that they can join, that they can debate ideas in, that stands or they see as standing for their class. And instead, people are left to choose between different brands of capitalist politicians. And they're told, you've got no choice but to vote for this big business capitalist politician, otherwise you'll get an even worse one. That's true in the US at the moment. I mean, that non-committed campaign has had a real effect, but it's nothing like the effect that you could have with a real third candidate standing on a socialist left programme, standing in that election for working class people. But people say, but you can't do that. You've got to back Biden. Otherwise, you're going to get Trump. And he's a racist lunatic. And, you know, we have sympathy. Nobody wants Trump to win the presidential election. But the problem with that is if you carry on with that approach forever, what it means is that the left are backing corporate politicians backed by Wall Street in the US, the capitalist elite, and they are allowing racist, populist millionaires, in the case of Trump, to pose as the ones who are standing up for the little people. And that doesn't work. That's what leads to people like Trump winning presidential elections. What is necessary is to begin to build a real workers' alternative with a socialist programme. Now, that's not directly relevant now to the situation we face in Britain, but it can become so if our class doesn't get its act together in the next period. One of the other very good things about Rochdale was Reform UK, so our very own right-wing populist, only got 6.3% of the vote. The protest vote in the main did not go to them in that election. But let's be clear, as has already been said, Labour are going to win this general election. The very worst possibility for them is they come out as the biggest party. Probably they will get a majority. They're going to win the general election. But it's not going to be because everybody loves Keir Starmer and Labour is popular. They are going to be swept to power on a wave of disillusionment. The by-elections, not just Rochdale, all of them show that Labour are not popular. The Tories are collapsing. And therefore, with very low turnouts, with people voting for different protest parties, still, Labour have been able to win stomping victories. And that could be the case in the general election. It could look like 1997, a landslide on paper, but the reality will be they will have been elected with very low levels of support. Even so, we have to be prepared. The younger comrades in the room have not experienced Labour in power. When they win, there will be a little bit of hoping against hope with a lot of people, thinking, well, we've got to give them a little bit of time. After all, they've inherited this terrible mess from the Tories. It's not their fault they're not being socialists straight away. Those kind of ideas will be there. But the disillusionment that exists now will deepen very quickly, because it could not be clearer how Labour is going to act in office, that it will act down the line in the interests of British capitalism. We've seen that on Gaza. They've had their Iraq moment, if you like, before they've even got to power, refusing to call for a ceasefire at the start of the war, suspending a Labour MP because they called what was taking place in Gaza a genocide, and she's still suspended. Tells you everything you need to know, that their foreign policy will be no different to the Tories in reality, will be just as much backing British imperialism to the hilt. And then, if you weren't already convinced they were going to be economically right-wing, you had Rachel Reeves' speech yesterday, in which she promised a decade of renewal like the one carried out by Maggie Thatcher, the most hated Tory Prime Minister in British history. That shows so clearly that this government will be a repetition of Blair. Blair, remember, praised Thatcher before he got elected, and Thatcher praised Blair. She said her proudest achievement was that there were now two parties that backed her position in Britain, not just one, as a result of Blair's transformation of Labour into a big business, an out-and-out big business party. It will be a government that rules in the interests of the 1%, but actually, it's going to be much more brutal than New Labour Mark One. Because in 1997, when Tony Blair got elected, the economy grew by almost 5%. National debt was 40% of GDP. Now the economy is flatlining at best. National debt is 100% of GDP. Acting in the interests of the capitalist class is going to mean much more brutal austerity today than it did back in 1997. They talk about transforming British capitalism. British capitalism is so rotten it has the lowest levels of productivity growth in 250 years. Since the dawn of capitalism, Labour had no idea, no ability to transform that, as no capitalist party could. Now, they're not going to have it easy. This Labour government could formally be speaking, win with a big majority, and then potentially could shatter in office. The same as parties like the Parti Socialiste in France, the equivalent of Labour in France, who, having implemented austerity after the Great Recession, got less than 2% in the last presidential election. The historic kind of equivalent of the Labour Party. I'm not saying exactly that's going to happen, but this party could really be finished as a result of the brutal policies it will implement in government. Reeves could live to regret comparing herself to Maggie Thatcher, because let's remember, as the older comrades in the room will, Maggie Thatcher faced mass struggles, and she was driven out of office and forced to resign as a result of an 18 million strong battle led by our party, where workers refused to pay a highly regressive tax called the poll tax, and that led to the end of that tax and also of Thatcher. So we're absolutely confident the next government will not get it easy. They will face mass movements of working class people, strikes, protests, all kinds of different things. But let's be clear, If we leave it only to going on strike, to protesting, important as those things are, but meanwhile do what the majority of the trade union leaders want us to do and say there's no choice but to back Labour in office, then what you will get is Reform UK or the Tory party led by Suella Braverman or some other right populist racist force picking up the protest vote, the same as is happening in other countries around the world. We have to start to fight for a left alternative now. Unfortunately, I think we can say, we'd be optimistic, you can't absolutely rule it out, but it's not looking likely that we're going to have a new mass force backed by significant sections of the trade union movement in place for the general election. The objective potential is clearly there. If you remember how popular the trade unions were at the height of the strike wave, their huge potential power, 6 million members of the trade unions, massive public support for the strikes, and at the height of the strike wave, two of the most prominent union leaders, Mick Lynch of the rail workers, Dave Ward of the post office workers, and the British Telecom workers, they launched a new campaign, Enough is Enough. 500,000 people joined it because they were looking for a new party. It showed the potential for a new party back then. And by the way, had that been a new party, then the anti-war movement would have been hugely strengthened because there already would have been a party based on a section of the workers' movement in existence fighting against the war. But unfortunately, both Dave and Mick see this, saw Enough is Enough, just as a means to put a bit of pressure on the Labour leadership. They see everything, there's no alternative but voting Labour from their point of view. And as a result of that, Enough is Enough doesn't really exist anymore, it's gone, it's just evaporated. And at this stage, you've got to say that all the union leaders, even the ones who are not bad sometimes on some industrial issues and so on, are using people's desperation to get rid of the Tories to say there's no choice but to back Labour in the general election. That is down the line, the position at the moment. It could change before the general election. If our member, Marion Lloyd, is elected president of the Civil Servants Union, the PCS, then it will change before the general election because she will argue the case with her members for the union entering the political fields. But all of that means we're unlikely to get a mass party before the general election. But it's not all or nothing. That doesn't mean we can't achieve anything in this general election. We're calling on all of those suspended and deselected Labour MPs that they should stand in the general election outside of Labour, including Jeremy Corbyn and Diane Abbott. And by the way, what clearer example is there of Starmer's absolute determination to show the capitalist class that he is so reliable that he will not give one millimetre to the left. The way that he has cynically used the disgusting, racist, misogynist comments by that Tory donor to beat Sunak at the same time as they won't let Diane Abbott back into the parliamentary Labour Party. And she herself has said she doesn't expect him to because she's too critical of Starmer. And let's be clear, what his comments, that Tory donor, were absolutely racist and misogynist, and Diane Abbott has had a hugely disproportionate amount of abuse in her time as an MP as a result of that. It's not only because of that, it's also because she's on the left. And it reflects the fear of the capitalist class when socialists start to make gains. We get attacked for being supposedly a violent mob on the extremely peaceful anti-war demonstrations. Meanwhile, it's actually the capitalist elite who are prepared to use violence. The capitalist state. Let's remember, it's not just Diane Abbott. When Jeremy Corbyn was leader of the Labour Party, there were generals talking about how they wouldn't be cooperating with a Labour government under his leadership. And there were soldiers having target practice at pictures of Jeremy Corbyn's face. That tells you a little bit about the attitude of the British state to socialists and those on the left. And within Labour, the abuse that Diane Abbott has suffered, the Ford report has shown, just as much vile racism as has been carried out by Tory donors because of in their desperation to try and drive the left out of the Labour Party. And if they're not going to be silenced, they've got to stand. That's the only possibility, themselves in the general election. And let's be clear, even a small block of MPs, even if they're elected as independents and under different banners, but who are going to fight for the interests of the working class inside Parliament, are going to reflect our movement on the streets inside Parliament, that would enormously strengthen our class fighting for its own party beyond the general election. I think a little example that gives you an idea of that is the big demonstrations we had around the question of the ceasefire votes. Because Labour MPs were only put on the spot because the SNP was in Parliament moving votes for a ceasefire. But they were doing that for their own cynical reasons. They wouldn't be doing that against austerity on other issues because they're implementing austerity in Scotland. We need a workers' party that is moving those motions around which we can mobilise on the streets and put those MPs on the spot, that does that on every issue in the way the SNP were prepared to do it on that narrow question of a ceasefire. So, which is not that I'm suggesting that's unimportant. So the Socialist Party, we want to do all we can to speed this process up. And that means calling on others to stand, but it also means ourselves standing in the elections, in the general election when it comes, but also in the local and the GLA elections that are taking place on the 2nd of May. As has been referred to, we don't do that on our own. We work as part of the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition, which was founded by Bob Crowe, the militant General Secretary of the RMT, ourselves and others. And to explain, Tusk is an umbrella. It's what we call a united front approach. It's not a classic united front, it doesn't involve mass forces, but that kind of approach in that we offer an electoral platform to all forces that are willing to sign up to the quite minimal socialist anti-austerity programme that Tusk puts forward. And different organisations and individuals take part on the steering committee, in the different groups around the country. And we aim to maximise collaboration, to all work together in order to have the strongest possible impact in elections. And that's between different left groups. The Workers' Party, for example, sit on the steering committee as observers. But above all, it's offering a banner to trade unionists, to community campaigners, to environmental activists, to workers who want to stand in the elections and otherwise, and many will be doing this in these next elections, end up standing as independents, which shows nothing on the ballot paper about what you stand for, who you identify with, whereas standing as a trade unionist and socialist candidate at least gives an idea of the fact you're not a right-wing independent, you're a worker that is standing against the austerity policies of New Labour. Now, what we will achieve in this coming election will be modest. We're up to now 250 candidates in the local elections, which is good, but, you know, I can't remember how many seats are up, but there are thousands, so, you know, we're a long way off standing in a majority. We hope in the general election to get to the threshold of 100, which would get us what is called fair media coverage. We're not fools. We do know that the capitalist media are not going to give us fair media coverage. But nonetheless, it gives you a few more rights in terms of them having to cover your press conference, getting a broadcast and so on, which will raise the profile of socialist candidates. So we're going to do our best to have the strongest possible electoral challenge in this coming election. And we hope that there will be at least a few workers' MPs elected in order to prepare for the big battles that will be coming under the next government. But let's be clear, no matter how hard the trade union leaders try in the period after the general election to keep arguing trade unionists should just back Labour, that will become unsustainable. There will be big sections of workers who say, no, we've had enough of that, and will themselves want to enter the electoral field. So, if you like, the smaller work we're doing at the moment is preparing for the bigger opportunities beyond the general election. Now, I would add that we think the Tusk umbrella-type approach is extremely important. It has never worked for any left organisation to say, we are the alternative. The working class's crisis of political representation is solved because we're it. You know, the Socialist Party have got just over 2,000 members. We're probably the biggest organisation on the far left in Britain at the moment, but it would clearly be ridiculous for us to say that. We're still a very small organisation and we're fighting for the working class itself to move. So we don't think it works for people to declare they are the finished alternative. And we think that all of the different organisations need to collaborate and work together. But that doesn't mean that we think the differences are unimportant and that we don't need to keep debating those. I'm sure we will in the meeting tonight. There are some of the people who participate in TUSC who very genuinely support our socialist programme, the TUSC socialist programme, but imagine that it's going to be possible to reform capitalism into a just socialistic system. And that's not our view. We do not agree with that approach. Capitalism has always been based on the exploitation of the majority, the working class, for the profits of a tiny few. But today it is also an increasingly sick and ailing system. 60% of the world's population have got worse off in the course of the last 2 years. Meanwhile, the world's five richest men have more than doubled their wealth since 2020. Think what we've been through. The wars, the pandemic, the environmental catastrophe, and they've more than doubled their wealth. That tells you everything you need to know about capitalism today. Apart from providing huge wealth for a tiny elite, it is incapable of taking society forward. Now, that doesn't mean that we're powerless. We can win things. Mass movements can force governments out of office. We can succeed in winning pay rises and so on. But none of them will be permanent on the basis of capitalism. And the only way to harness the enormous wealth, the science, the technique, all the marvels that capitalism has created, to harness them for the good of all of humanity and to save our planet with a real green transition, that means breaking with capitalism. That means nationalising not just the privatised public services. That would be a good start, rail, mail, energy and the rest of it. But we want all of the major corporations and banks that dominate the economy nationalised under democratic working class control so we could develop a socialist planned economy that could really meet the needs of the majority. Now, people might say, well, that's utopian. But we would say reforming capitalism into a just system. That's what's utopian. And actually, if the majority of the working class were convinced of that programme, we're the people who keep society running. We're the people who make the bosses' profits. We have the power to transform the world. And a peaceful transformation of society in a country like Britain, given the strength of the working class, would be entirely possible. Of course, capitalism's a global system. We're not suggesting a socialist government in Britain backed by the working class could nationalise the major corporations and it would be jobbed up, because the capitalists in the rest of the world would not be very happy about it. But at the same time, if one country took that step, it would be enormously popular and it could spread like wildfire around the world. So that's what we're fighting for in a nutshell. But let's be clear, the working class having its own party that could discuss and debate these issues about how you can get socialism, what's necessary, how are we going to achieve it, that in itself will be an enormous step forward. For the working class to conquer power, we have to get organised. Having a political party of our own will be an important step in that direction. And in this general election that's coming up, and in the GLA elections before then, unless he calls the election tomorrow, then we will have an opportunity to take some modest but important steps on that road. So I'll leave it there.
Well, hopefully that episode has got you fired up and looking to get active in campaigning for a challenge to the establishment parties in these elections and beyond. To get in touch with the Socialist Party to discuss being a member and joining the fight to change the world, visit www.socialistparty.org.uk. If you're interested in Marxist ideas, take out a subscription to The Socialist, our weekly paper, and Socialism Today, our monthly magazine. We also recommend checking out the Committee for a Workers' International, the international organisation the Socialist Party is a part of. With analysis of world events, and for those listening in other parts of the world, get in touch to join the fight for socialism in your country. That's www.socialistworld.net. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.